I'd like to draw your attention to John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 37. I've said this before, this is my favourite verse in the Bible, and I've explained before why it's my favourite verse in the Bible. But I think it's the favourite verse of many Christians, and I trust that if there's one here without Christ as a personal saviour, before this meeting is over, it might become your favourite verse, not just to hang on the wall, as it were, but something through which you know the power of the gospel in your own life. All that the Father giveth me, says Christ, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is a text, really, which has two key thoughts in it. It has doctrine, there's doctrine here, but there's also something of a practical nature here as well. We have the grand doctrine of God's electing grace and purpose in the first part, and then in the second part we have something which doesn't, no matter what anybody says, run contrary to the first. We have the free and open offer of Christ's gospel. And it's not the preacher that makes it open. It is Jesus Christ himself whose prerogative it is to make it open. It's him that gives this free invitation. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, whether or not you understand the first part about a great number of people being given to Jesus from all eternity as a gift from the Father upon Christ's sufferings and his success at the cross, whether you understand that fully, it doesn't really matter in the great scheme of things. But the thing I want to press home this afternoon to you is the second part of this text. It's the important business about coming to Jesus. There's a lot of people who are hung up on the doctrine of election. And when it comes to the free offer of the gospel and the invitation for sinners to come to Jesus Christ, put their trust in him, they say something like this: I will wait until I have the right feeling, until I feel that I am part of that given number, that elect or chosen people. Well, you can wait there as long as you like and you'll never get the feeling. The thing that gives you the right to come is the invitation of Jesus. You'll never know, nobody can ever know, that they're part of the great multitude which no man can number until they do come to Christ. That's the only way of knowing. You might have a good intellectual grasp of the doctrine of election. You might understand that well enough, and there's nothing wrong with that, because doctrine keeps us from error. But the knowledge, said one man, of God is far from the love of God. You can know all there is to know, humanly speaking, this side of eternity. You can know all there is to know about high and great doctrine, but what good will it possibly do any man if he perishes? There are people in hell who know the truth and who know what doctrine is, but they've never had a personal experience, and never now can have a personal experience with Jesus Christ. How do we know that any man is part of the given number? It is in this, that he comes to Jesus Christ. That's the only way of telling. Many people have been ordained to eternal life. That is true. Thank God it is true. But I tell you something more. There's only one way of telling those that are ordained, and that is by their faith. The Bible says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. They believe. We're talking not now about a head knowledge of the gospel. We're talking about a heart experience of Jesus Christ, believing to the saving of the soul, believing with the heart unto righteousness, confessing with the mouth unto salvation, that God hath raised him from the dead, a claiming of Christ as one's own personal Savior, a coming to Christ on the ground of his promise. So there is doctrine here, and there's that of a practical nature. And that one of the things that I like, this thing that I like the most about John 6 verse 37, is that it rings with absolute certainty. It's absolutely certain. We're living in an uncertain world. And the world is more uncertain perhaps now than it's ever been. Somebody said once, sarcastically, there's only two things that you can be sure of in this life, and that is death and taxes. And I suppose that's very true. But it's not the only thing, because there is a dead certainty here. This is something which is absolutely certain. And the certainty comes from the lips of Christ. We're not reading certainty into it. This certainty is already here. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's something that all the great world religions offer to none of their devotees or worshippers. When you really examine the doctrines of other faiths, so-called, and other religions, there's no real certainty. You take, for instance, a devout Romanist. A devout Romanist will be told that he has to go to confession and speak to the priest. The priest is the go-between between him and his maker. But he has to keep going back to confession, and no matter how often he confesses, it may not necessarily buy him a place in heaven. There's always this other place which they have created in their theology called purgatory. And then again there's that strange doctrine of the so-called intention of the priest, that the intention of the priest wasn't right when he offered penance to the confessor. Then the confession is not real in the prayer, and the penance can't be accepted. There's no certainty in Romanism. Yesterday I visited friends of mine, good friends of mine, and whose thoughts were with me in my 16th anniversary meeting last night. One of those friends of mine is a Baha'i. I don't know how much into the religion she is, but we were talking about it, and I said, do Baha'is believe that they will be eventually replaced and that a new revelation will come? Oh, she said that that's always possible, according to some Baha'is. The old Baha'i faith may be, it's just part, she said, of, and they view themselves as part of an ongoing evolution in theology and spirituality and all the rest of it. So whatever religion, whether you look to religions in the West or religions in the East, none of them offer certainty. None of them offer certainty. There's an old godless philosopher, he lived some years ago, called Bertrand Russell. And he said this, foolish man that he was, he said, if we are certain about anything, we are certainly wrong. Nothing deserves absolute certainty. If I was around in his day, I would ask him, are you sure about that? Are you sure? There's some people, and the only thing that they're certain about is their ignorance and their doubt. But thank God tonight we can preach a Christ and a gospel which is absolutely certain. Certain because Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, makes it certain. And I love this truth of the gospel, the certainty of Christ's reception of sinners. The first thing I want to point out from this verse is Christ's simple invitation. Now, our Lord doesn't make it complicated, does he? This is something that the youngest child in our audience or congregation this afternoon can understand. Anybody can understand this. The Lord makes it simple. You know, some people think that the Bible can mean anything. A neighbour of mine, we were talking, this is some years ago, and he said to me, oh well, he said, of course, take the book of Revelation, for instance, that can mean anything. There's lots of people think that the Bible can mean anything you want it to mean. And so, one person's view is as good as another, according to their thinking, their way of thought. But we're talking here about something which is simple. Something which is absolutely simple. This means something. And because God loves us, he hasn't given us his word to keep us in the dark or to make our natural darkness worse. He's come to give us light. And the simplicity of the gospel gives light. Jesus Christ's word of invitation here is a plain and simple thing. It's as simple as pie. It says, him that cometh unto me. Have you come to Jesus? Have you? I'm not asking if you've come to church. I know that you're here already. I'm not asking anything else but this. Have you come to Jesus? And I'm not talking about professing. I'm not talking about making a show. I'm not talking about signing up to an Orthodox creed. We're talking about coming to Jesus. A gentleman who used to attend our old church, well, not when it was a pre-Presbyterian church, but when it was a URC, when the URC had it in, as one of their buildings, he said to me something, well, everybody's a Christian who believes in the Nicene Creed. Now, lots of people believe in the Nicene Creed. That doesn't mean to say you're born again. It's not coming to a creed, it's coming to a living person. I'm going over old ground, but this is important. This is absolutely vital. Have you come to Christ? It's not the church, it's Christ. It's not a system of religion, it's Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Have you come to Him? And I don't mean coming physically to Christ. If you could physically be in the physical presence of Christ this afternoon, that wouldn't mean that you were a Christian necessarily. You see, these people that came in the ship, in the little boats, and followed to the other side and came seeking for Jesus, because they were in the company of Jesus, did that mean that they were all children of God? No, it meant nothing of the sort. They had been in the company of Jesus before, and they had seen His wonderful miracles. And that didn't make them children of God. They came seeking Him again. And that didn't make them children of God. In fact, He says to them, He rebukes them there, and He says, labour not for the meat that perisheth, but for that which endures to everlasting life. You see, it's not coming physically to Jesus. It's a coming by faith to Jesus. It's a spiritual approach to Jesus Christ. It's not got to do with the moving of your feet. It's got to do with the moving of the heart towards Him, out of a sense of need. Has your heart tonight ever been moved towards Jesus Christ? Has it? Has your heart ever been moved towards Jesus Christ? Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit bringing His truth to bear upon your life, showing your disobediences, quickening your conscience, and pointing you to Calvary as the only means of deliverance? Has your heart ever been moved towards Christ? Have you been convicted? Moreover, have you come? You see, if your heart moves towards Christ, then you'll cry to Him for the forgiveness of your sins, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you come? In other words, have you cried? Have you called upon Jesus? Thank God this word of invitation is not only simple, it's personal. Him that comes. And that means any individual here. I want to make the gospel as free as the gospel makes itself. As free as Jesus makes it, Him. Now I know in the book of the Acts we have that wonderful text of scripture about families. Wonderful. Lovely to mark all the family texts in the Bible. And the apostle says, the promise is unto you and unto your children. Unto your children. There's a promise for families. But if God saves families, the only way He saves families is by dealing with them as individuals. When I was converted, I wasn't converted because my father and mother believed in my place. I was converted because Christ drew me to Himself. You're not a Christian simply because your father and mother was a Christian. You've got to come to Christ for yourself. God's dealings with great men in the past were personal. God said to Noah, come down all thy family into the ark. But He made it personal first of all, didn't He? Come thou and all thy family. Noah couldn't drag them. They had to come drawn, but willingly nonetheless, of their own accord, up that ramp into the ark. And you've got to come personally to Jesus Christ if you've never come before. Paul and Silas told a Philippian jailer that his loved ones could be saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. What does it mean by and thy house? Well, if your house believes, they'll be saved too. And they did believe. Because, according to the Christian practice, they were baptized because after they had believed. After they had believed. They believed for themselves. Have you believed for yourself? Have you come to Christ for yourself? And this personal invitation to all is without exception or distinction. There's absolutely no national barriers. There's no local barriers. There's no personal barriers. There's no age barriers. There's no racial barriers. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I love the spirit of Wesley's hymn. Oh, that the world might taste and see the riches of his grace, the arms of love that compassed me might all mankind embrace. But still, you've got to come for yourself. Have you come for yourself to Jesus? You know, when Christ issues this word of invitation, he does so with purpose. The Lord never said anything without good reason for saying it. And the Lord never led anybody on in the things that he said. He implied things as well as saying things directly. Why would he say, come to me? Because there's a welcome. And because you need to come. Spurgeon put it like that. Christ meets the hungering of conscience, which feels that God must punish sin, but is appeased as it perceives that that sin is punished in Jesus. The heart has its hunger, but in the blessed Son of God, the roving affections find rest. You'll never find personal satisfaction in this world. You might find pleasure, but you'll not find spiritual satisfaction and peace outside coming to Jesus. Never find it anywhere else. How many people are looking for it in things of the world, things of time and sense, things that they can touch and see and feel and have before them? Fortune of this world, pleasures of this world, prosperity of this world, the fame of this world, and so on. But all those things will die. And I'll tell you something else that's going to die. The people that are around you that you love so well, they're going to die as well. Years ago, I heard someone preach a sermon, a gospel mission, on Ecclesiastes. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And one of the bodyguards, God's bodyguards that were in the meeting, said to me afterwards, he said, that was a bit morbid, wasn't it? It's not morbid to preach about death. It's serious. It's not scaremongering. We've got, if we're reasonable people and care anything about our welfare, we've got to think about these things. And I would challenge you, sinner, you've got to think about them. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. But it's far worse not to think than to be unprepared. You've got to think about death. You've got to think about it. You've got to think about it seriously. And the fact that those that are around you, do you sometimes make excuse for not coming to Jesus? What will my family say if I come to Christ? Forget about them for a moment. Remember, you've got to come. You've got to come. How can you possibly live? How can you possibly face your Maker if you have no satisfaction of conscience? You know the reason why people will not trust in Jesus? Because they're running away from him. And the reason why they're running away from him and hiding is because, it's sure that his word is true and it's quickening them and convicting them. But no matter where they hide, however far they try to roam, no matter how far they try to get away from them, the fact that they're running proves that they're afraid. Are you afraid? Are you concerned? Are you anxious? Come to Jesus Christ tonight. He's the only one that can satisfy this precious word of invitation. And then, I said this text rings with certainty, and there's not only an invitation, there is an affirmation. I will in no wise cast out. And that is as plain as a pikestaff, isn't it? In no wise. The word in the Greek is the two Greek words here. It's a compound Greek expression, oume. It's a double negative. It's the strongest possible negative that there is in the original language. It's exactly the same word that is rendered in verse 35 by the English word never. Him that cometh to me, in other words, I will never cast out. And it's used in other parts of the Bible, and the English rendering of the old Greek word is by the expression in no case. Him that cometh unto me, I will never cast out. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no case cast out. When the Lord uses it, he speaks with absolute certainty and truth. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, I will never, I will for no reason, I will in no case cast out. And if you're willing to come to Jesus Christ tonight, then can I tell you something for your encouragement? Jesus Christ is resolved to receive you. The great commentator One said this. He said, Jesus never slept in a walled town. That's a striking remark of a literary writer. There never lived so open a person, so accessible always to all. Sitting at the well of Sychar, talking freely to the first comer, receiving Nicodemus by night, listening to the Syrophoenician mother who breaks through his concealment, preaching to the 5,000 who disturb his retirement, he is the property of every man who wants him. Are you weary, running from God? Have you found that for all your running you find no refuge outside of Christ? Then I bid you tonight and urge you and exhort you tonight as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, come to him, run to Jesus Christ tonight without hesitation, without waiting any longer, before death embraces you in her cold arms, before you go out into God's great and unending eternity, before you die and perish in that everlasting darkness and go into that death that never dies. Run now to Jesus Christ. He's the property of every man who wants him. Do you need him? Do you crave him? Do you long for him? Do you look for peace with God and peace in death and peace for eternity? Then run now to Jesus. And there's not only certainty in this affirmation, there's comfort. Know the word of Jesus dispels every doubt. You can bring every doubt that you have, every doubt that you have, to God's word. And God's word banishes it all. The blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, will put your sins away. That's the first thing. And praise his name, his holy word will put your doubts away. Listen to this. Jesus says in no case. Some people say, I feel I'm not fit to come to Jesus. You know what Jesus says? Well, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Somebody else says, maybe my motive for coming to Jesus isn't pure and right. Maybe I don't design God's glory in my own salvation. Some sinners have very high and pure thoughts, don't they? But Jesus never required you to have such a qualification. Never. Never did he ever require such a thing. God offers life to you tonight, the forgiveness of your sins, and the absolute certainty of a place in his company and his loving embrace for all eternity. He offers you tonight, life to you tonight, as the reason for coming to him. That's the reason. Are you coming? Have you come to take life? Then he will take you in. He will take you in. Somebody else says, well, maybe I'm too great. Maybe I have lived so long in my pride and my self-righteousness and my self-trust. Maybe after all this time, after running from Jesus for so long, I'll not be accepted. I've lived so long in sin, maybe God will not accept me. Let me put it like this to you. If you live any longer that way, he may not accept you. God says in his word, listen to it. Let this word sink down deep into your ear. Let it catch the attention of your whole being. Let it catch the attention of your soul and your spirit and your mind. Listen to it. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Some say, well, maybe I have come too late. Doesn't God sometimes shut the door of mercy before death? Yes, he does. He does. Couldn't I be one maybe against him? He shut that door. Well, let me put it like this to you. If God has shut the door of opportunity in you once and for all, why do you think he's got you in tonight's meeting? You stop just to think about that. We never stop to think about why we're here, or who's brought us here, or for what reason. Why has God brought you here? He brought you here just to let you know that there's no hope for you, to sit under the sign of the truth, just to let you know that there's no hope for you in that truth. No, for the very opposite reason, to give you another opportunity. If you have an earnestness to come, you're not coming too late. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The dying thief, the door of mercy was open for him. Why should you doubt that he'll not receive you? He came at the last moment. Perhaps this is the last day, an opportunity for you. Perhaps this is the last call of the Spirit to your heart. Perhaps that is so. But then come. Come now. Come right away. Certainty. Comfort. And then there's also rejoicing. Because he who said he will not cast out pleads the cause of all who come to him. I love that verse in 1 John 2 verse 1. It says about Jesus Christ, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ the righteous. And he's pleading the cause of all that come to him. That means you will be accepted if you come. All this might sound like vain repetition, but it's not. I want you to know, before you leave this meeting tonight, before the last Amen is said, how clear and how simple and how certain and how solemn the gospel is. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. There's cause for rejoicing here. And then our Lord finishes with the sweetest of all consolations. He says in verse 39, of all that he has given me, in other words, those that come, I should lose nothing. I should lose nothing. The Savior who is able to save is a Savior who is able to keep. A Savior who is able to pardon is a Savior who is able to secure. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. Now there's one thing you've got to do if you haven't done it already, and that's come to Jesus. Come to Christ. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly, saying, come. May God help you to come for Jesus' sake. Amen.